If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And we will begin by looking at verse 6. Once again, if you know that we have been addressing the issue of the heart issues of Malachi's day, remember that this is the time just before the coming of the Lord. Is the end of the Old Testament period. And we see that even after the exile and the Lord God disciplining His own, that still we ought always to be careful. How is it that a believer's heart might become cold and indifferent to the things of the Lord? How might that happen? Because the message of this book is to believers. These were messages to His own people in Judah, in Jerusalem, as He speaks to them about the coldness of their life spiritually. And the incredible thing that we see in this passage is that they don't seem to be fully aware of it. There is a sense spiritually where their eyes have been covered over the gradual progression away from the Lord that has occurred. And they wonder what it is that God is calling them to repent of. They just don't have a clue as to what He means. And so Malachi is the book I call the book of heart spiritual murmurs of God's people. And so today, the title of the message, Will a Man Rob God? Will a man rob God? And here then, one of the spiritual heart issues before the Lord God in their lives. Beginning with verse 6, the Word of God. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. And then may God then add His blessing to this reading of His holy and precious Word of God. It is very important for the church to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. There should be no doubt, and I would say in this day and time, that we ought evermore be clear about the proclamation of the gospel. These things that are being spoken of in Malachi this morning with regard to the tithe and offering has nothing to do with the unbeliever. As a matter of fact, the Lord asks nothing from the unbeliever in this text. Nothing from the unbeliever in this text. The only thing that God calls the unbeliever to is to turn unto Him who is gracious to forgive. And that is the message that we as the church ought to proclaim clearly to a lost and dying world. We ought to be faithful to that and clear about the gospel and that call. The message, however, this morning is for the life of His people. For His people did have a responsibility to the house of God. One of the great issues that took place after the exile was coming back to the land that they were promised to return to, and the humble means in which they found themselves. And those humble means began to weigh upon their heart. They saw some blessings of those around them, and they had difficulty that with God, actually. There are two things in this passage that are very important. One that is on the surface of the dealing with God's people. Then there's another deeper spiritual problem with regard to the very character of God that they are questioning. The first of the issues was that God calls them to return unto Him. And that is a call to repentance. But somehow they don't see the need for repentance. You know, how shall we return? From what? What should we repent of? And how shall we return to the Lord? What is it that you're asking for? How have we abandoned you, Lord, that we should repent? And the Lord God comes back. As always, in each one of these, the immediate answer, isn't it? There's no separation between the doubting question of how have you loved us, or how have we been unfaithful to you? How have we been treacherous in our relationships with you, Lord? How have we dishonored you, Lord? Immediately the Lord responds with explanation from above. And we should be aware that the hidden things belong unto God, but the open things in our life are before God. All things are before God in our life. He knows all about us, and He knows our very life and the fiber of our being. Hebrews tells us that all things are laid open and bare before Him with whom we have to do. And we should live in the light of that. I love Dr. R.C. Sproul as he adopted his motto, Coram Deo, that we live in the presence of God every day, in the presence of God. We live before Him and His watchful eyes and His sovereign hand over us every day. And we ought to be thankful for that in these days of lawlessness and chaos, that God's hand is upon His children. And I love that spirit. And yet these who were to be God's own had forgotten God in many ways. And the question came to them, will a man rob God? And he is beginning to deal with them with regard to what the question is. Well, Lord, how have we robbed you? And the Lord immediately says, in the tithe and the offering. What had happened is that there was a great commercialization that was beginning to take place even in that day. The people were beginning to think about how they could rebuild. And if you've ever been in a rebuilding process, you know it requires a lot. It's very demanding, it's very tight, and there's a lot going on. And spiritually, among the people of God, already some things were happening. There was the dishonor of God. They were questioning how God had really loved them, questioning the God of the covenant of grace. They were questioning God with regard to His blessing them as He ought to bless them. They were beginning to exercise in things of sacrifice. The priests were beginning to sacrifice the blemished. And they were taking that which was the unblemished that belonged unto God. And the priests themselves were selling that for their profit, or keeping it for themselves. Sounds like similar days economically, doesn't it, in many ways? And so these things were beginning to occur. The relationships were beginning to deteriorate. They were divorcing the wives of their youth that had gone through so much with them, and they were marrying and intermarrying with the Canaanite women who had more and were more abundant and established in the land. That was more appealing to them. And God speaks to them and says, return unto me, says the Lord, and I will return unto you. And they say, how shall we return? What should we return for? What have we done? And there seemed to be a lack of awareness. And sometimes spiritual decline can be that way, can it? Sometimes spiritual decline is just a little compromise here or there. And then it becomes a common thing. And then it becomes a habit if you're not careful about the progression of things. along this line. And it can happen to the believer's life. And so the message is for us as believers this morning, as the message was to these in Malachi's day with regard to watching our lives. Take stock of your life. Watch over your life before the Lord. And be careful to walk with Him in the light of His holiness. And so they were not aware of how they were robbing God. And the Lord God just said, well, in tithes and offerings. You've not brought the whole tithe into the storehouse. They were responsible. The tithe means tenth. They were responsible to bring a tenth into the storehouse of God. For the sake of the work of what God called the Levites to do, to serve the house of God, and so that the priest might be taken care of and Levite might be taken care of. And what ends up happening is that the people are so busy now, I just can't get to church on Sunday. It's kind of the thought. I'm sorry, I've just got so much to do. I just can't do that. And so there was beginning to be a neglect in the house of God, and the Levites were not being cared for. But it was more than just simply the tithe and offering. That's an important issue, and we'll speak about that in just a minute, about how we serve the Lord with tithes and offerings and what place should that have in our lives. But did you know the greater issue in this passage with regard to the spiritual issue was their questioning of God with regard to His faithfulness? I once had a young man talk to me. He said, you know, Pastor, my life is in turmoil. And I said, well, you know, I said, you need to surrender your life to Christ after we discuss the issues. And I said, you need to begin to order your things after the life of the Lord. And maybe here are some things you can do in your practical situation to help solve some of your problems. Well, he came back to me about 3 months later, and he said, well, Pastor, he said, I did my part, but I've got some news for you. The Lord didn't do His part. And I talked to him a little bit about what he had done and what some of the steps he had taken and how he thought. And he said, well, that wasn't enough. God just didn't do everything that I thought He should do. And that was affecting his attitude toward God. And my dear friends, if we are not careful in our spirit, we can come to that same spirit as those in Malachi's day come to, that we can begin to question God's faithfulness. And I tell you what it means is that they were questioning God and saying that He's changed. Looked at all that we've been through, and You haven't blessed us like other people. You haven't blessed us like we thought You supposed to. And it was the idea more about them than it was God's faithfulness. The idea is that their understanding of who God was to them was based on the standard of whether their lives had been immediately blessed in the way that they thought that God should bless them. And you see, the focus is flip-flop there. Spiritually, that becomes the people become the focus of the issue, and God's faithfulness then becomes questioned. And my dear friends, the passage here begins. You noticed in verse 6 how it begins, how he declares to them, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." Well, how do you like that verse to begin talking about the spiritual issue? I, the Lord, do not change. I am the unchangeable, faithful God to my covenant. And they were questioning the love of His covenant. They were questioning His provision. They were questioning His own faithfulness to them. Lord, You have not been faithful to us. And we have to be careful beginning to judge God and our relationship with Him based on our circumstances at times. We have to be very careful. And so as we look at this passage and talk about God's faithfulness, I think about Jeremiah and Lamentations 3, one of the great passages of Scripture. Jeremiah is facing probably one of the most difficult times watching the spiritual decline of his day. and for the people of God to be disciplined in Jerusalem. And he's watching the people of Jerusalem being taken out of Jerusalem. And he declares before God, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is your faithfulness. My dear friends, Jeremiah is a man of God under the most direst of circumstances. In the book called the Book of Tears, the Book of Lamentations, under the most difficult of circumstances. As a matter of fact, even in those circumstances, the faithfulness of God was not questioned. The faithfulness of God was rather affirmed and declared that holiness would abide upon the earth and that God would be glorified in all the earth and in all the nations. I love that great song. It's a great thing. It's an ordination song for me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And we have to be careful of that. I was reading one author, and he describes the situation in not only Haggai's day, but in the day of Malachi. And this is what he says. The Lord God said to his people, I spoke unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou didst say, I will not hear. Jeremiah 22:21. I think the love of money can divert people in all kinds of directions from God. This was Hosea 4:7. As they were increased, as they prospered, so they sinned against me. Sometimes prosperity can be a blessing, but sometimes it can be a curse as well, if not put in a proper perspective before God. I remember dealing with the question, will a man rob God, in the context of the Lord's Day? And some of the men of the church, and some of them were deacons and they had families, and they came to the church one Sunday afternoon because they wanted to talk to the session. Organized sports were going on, and they were very big about organized sports. I mean, we're having a tournament in Raleigh. We're having this. We're having the big one down in Greenville. And boy, you know, our organized sports, we've got a good team, and we're supporting our, and it's good for the kids, you know. But it began to kind of creep. First, it started out on the games on Friday night, and then they began to organize the games on Saturday through Saturday. And then they began to say, well, no, in order to really get it all done, we need to take up Sunday too. And so there were many men and their families in our church who were participating in the organized sports. And what they wanted to know from us as a session, should we participate in organized sports on the Lord's Day? Should we go? As a matter of fact, we want to, but we just want to talk to the session about it as to what we should do. And I remember one of the little elders, boy, praise God for him. He stood up before these men and their families, and he said to them, do you think any of us here might want to rob God of His day? He said, I kind of think that that's what you've come here to ask us to approve of. And he said, I, for one, as a leader in this church, will not approve of such a robbery of God. He said, if you want to rob God of His day, then that's up to you. If you regard organized sports as more important than the honor of God on His day, then that's for you to judge. He says, I'm not judge of your family and what you do. That's between you and God. But I tell you what, I've thought long and hard about that in the context of this passage. How have we robbed God? Well, in the tithes and contributions. I think we live in a day in which the tithe and offering is an interesting question. I think that in the Old Testament there was the tithe that was to be responsibly given. I think that was being neglected in this passage. And I think God called them to task about it as a spiritual point of how they were robbing God. They were robbing Him of the tithe and offerings. One of the things that you look over in Haggai is that God calls them. As a matter of fact, they have actually abandoned the worship God for the queen of Israel. They had begun to worship the queen of the gods. And the, you know the reason they decided to worship the queen of the gods? Because, God, you haven't blessed us. She was the god of fertility. And God, you've stopped blessing our crops and the things around us. And so what we will do is that since you've not blessed us the way you should, we're just going to turn to the queen and we're going to worship the queen of gods and offer unto him. And the Lord God said, because you've done this thing, idolatry, you're cursed with a curse. You've abandoned God. And all of a sudden in this context, these who are quite unaware, it seems, of how they have gradually progressed downward spiritually, how they have robbed God in the tithe and the offering. And there, even in Haggai, he says this. He said, shall you live in your paneled houses and the house of the Lord go neglected? And so the house of God was in ruins. And in Haggai, you find God questioning them about, should the house of God go destitute while you live in your paneled houses? And the comparison was that the house of God was falling apart, yet their own homes were prospering and they were building and progressing more and more. And the Lord God said, listen, ought not we as Christians be aware of who we are, that we are the Lord God's people? And that the foundation of supporting the things of the church and supporting the things of the Lord are for God's people. It calls for God's people to be faithful. Now, I happen to think that in the New Testament that we are not bound to the tithe. Ah, how do you like that? I think that we are bound and have a freedom greater than that. I think that you should realize that you're a people that have been bought with a price. I think you're a people that should recognize in Christ that there is nothing that you have that's apart from the hand of the Lord. And that He's abundantly blessed you. And I think the attitude of God's people should be that, Lord, there's nothing in my life, there's nothing that I have, there's nothing that belongs to me, Lord, that's not at your disposal. Lord, my life is yours. What I have belongs to you. Lord, all that I am belongs to you. Lord, use it as you will. Show me how to be wise in terms of how to give unto you, not just the tithe. As a matter of fact, I think one of the most beautiful things I've seen among God's people is some people who have such a giving heart, who have the gift of giving, it seems. They just give and give and give. And you wonder when it's going to stop. And you say, man, look at that heart. These Christians just give and give and give. And it just seems like what? I think about us as a church, little church. But I ask the question here in this body. Because this board of deacons has been so generous and so kind with what God has given them, Has God supplied all of our needs? Has God been good to us as a little church? My dear friends, God, I think, rewards faithfulness and obedience to Him. But I think that if we withhold from God and we rob God, whether it's of His day or whether we rob Him of His honor or His respect, or we rob Him of His covenant perspective as being faithful and a covenant God that is faithful to that covenant, I think, dear friends, we tread a dangerous path if we seek to withhold from God. Because I think that a believer's heart is not a heart to withhold from God, because He withheld nothing from us, did He, in order to redeem us and call us His own? Did He withhold from us? No, He withheld nothing from us. Matter of fact, He gave the life of His own Son. How is it that we could ever withhold, who have tasted of His grace and know Him as our Lord and Savior and what He gave for us? How could we ever withhold anything from Him that is rightfully His? You see, it's a heart issue, isn't it, with regard to understanding God's faithfulness. And sometimes God's faithfulness is most difficult in prosperity. When you've been blessed with much, sometimes the worldly heart says, I need more, and that's not enough. And you have to be careful of that spirit, because the spirit of the world sometimes wants to hold on to things. Wants to hold on and cling. Well, that's just not quite enough. Well, you know, we better do this for a rainy day. We better keep this. No, we better not give that to the Lord. But can I tell you something? Do you know what the Lord says? Return unto me and I'll return unto you, says the Lord. Change your heart. Seek the Lord's face. Know who I am as a God of blessing. And I'm a God of faithfulness and truth. And I'm a God of unchangeableness. And I do not change. And that's why, O Jacob, you're not consumed. Because of my faithfulness. Not because of your unfaithfulness. And you see, the idea was they were the ones that were unfaithful. It was not God. Like what one friend of mine told me. I said, you know, I'm just not feeling right these days spiritually. And I love what the teacher said to me. He said, well, maybe it wasn't God who moved. Maybe it was you, Lonnie. Maybe you need to change. Maybe you need to examine your heart before God as to why you don't feel as close to God as you used to, or as to why you don't sense His blessing. Lonnie, He doesn't move. Most of the time, we do. My dear friends, it does us well to examine our hearts in this regard. There's certain promise associated with it. It's quite remarkable. Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? But you say, how have we robbed thee? Immediate response, in tithes and contributions. Notice there's a curse with being disobedient. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. This almost seemed to be a prevalent practice of abandoning God and abandoning His house. And then verse 10, there's a change. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And then there's a qualification. And test now me then this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more need. It is oftentimes the issue in a spiritually indifferent situation that God has not provided, or God might not provide, or we've got to handle this on our own. The idea may be that God will not provide, but the Lord says, test me in it. Test me in this thing and see if I will not open the heavens, windows of heaven. You know, that's the only place that talks about the windows of heaven being open from that end in terms of blessing, because there are windows in heaven. Oftentimes the windows of heaven have been open. Stephen, the window was open in his homegoing. Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, the window of heaven was open, and John beholds great things. But this is the blessing coming from the other direction. I will open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot contain. I'm convinced that maybe some don't believe that or question that. That, you know, if I do this and give of what I have, then of myself, and I honor the Lord in the way He calls me to honor Him, you know, I might be deprived of something. And actually the Lord encourages you and says, no, actually it's going to be quite the opposite. And the Lord even challenges you and says, well, test me in it. Just test me and see if I will not be faithful if you are obedient to me in the things that you are called to do as a believer. I think God's people are called to be faithful to the life of the Church of Jesus Christ and to its work. I think that we've lived in a diminished spiritual environment in which the house of God has been taken more or less. Even among some who call themselves believers, the house of God, we can leave it or take it. It is my choice whether I want to come or whether I don't want to come. And you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. But my dear friends, look at the Church of Jesus Christ. Those who are faithful to the Lord, I think that you begin to see that their lives unquestionably have been blessed. And they honor the Lord in their life and in their responsibilities. The question for us is, will we rob God? Will we let the work of God in our lives and in the life of His church go in want, while our lives have been blessed innumerably, poured out abundantly? One fellow on the board of trustees at Covenant College, he came, Mr. Avis, Avis Rent-A-Car. And Mr. Avis said to the board, he said, you know, this last year, the Lord has blessed our company, and I'm giving 50% of our profits to Covenant College. I like to fell out on the floor. What are you doing, man? And I remember him talking to some of us personally. He said, Lonnie, don't you see that all of this is from God's hands? And he said, what kind of Christian, what kind of man of God I would be if I didn't acknowledge the Lord that it was from His hand. He said, so this is no small thing. This is what the Lord has done. He said, it is not mine. It's the Lord's. What about your life? Is it the Lord's? Would you withhold anything from God that He asked of you? I love the picture. Jesus, before His crucifixion, sitting in the temple court. And there came along a widow. And it says that Jesus was watching her. And she put two little sliver coppers, the remnants of the money that was produced. She put two little copper slivers, mites, they were called mites. That sounds appropriate, doesn't it? Two mites. And she put them in the box. And the Lord Jesus spoke to His own disciples, and He said, she gave of more than all the rest. I said, well, no, she only gave two little slivers of copper in the box. And the Lord Jesus said, yes. These gave out of their abundance. But she gave of her life, of all that she had. Oh, don't we hear the message? To whom does your life belong? Who is it that you serve? And isn't the greater issue is not how much we've prospered or how much we owe the Lord. I think one of the things I say, give as you've purposed in your heart as a believer. Whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, you give unto Him. But I encourage you, dear friends, don't withhold anything. Love Him earnestly above all things. Let Him know that you are the Lord of His life and that He is the God who has blessed you with all things in this world. For this world shall pass away and all that is in it. And all that will last is that which has been given and done in the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder what will last of the work that we have done. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would lead and guide and direct us this morning in this passage. Malachi, Lord, is a very challenging book. We would not dare point the finger at anyone, Lord, because when we stand, Lord, before Your Word, we are as Isaiah. Woe is me. Woe is me. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. Lord, Isaiah fell before You as a dead man. And there was nothing in his life that was left in the presence of a holy God. Yet, Lord, You raised him up by Your grace, and You've raised us up by Your grace in Your Son. And, Lord, You have caused us to be blessed in the gospel. You have caused us to be blessed in the church and in our walk with You. Lord, I pray that we would come together and reason with you and repent and turn to you. And Lord, know that our life is in your hands and all that we have, all that we are. And the Lord has promised that that if we are faithful to Him in these things, that Lord, not only would He pour out His blessing upon us and fill us with a blessing that we couldn't contain, but also we would be a blessing to the nations. So Lord, help this people who are in the covenant of your faithfulness, in the covenant of grace. Lord, may they be faithful to you and walk with you. And Lord, may they be a blessing to the nations. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.